It's leadership at all levels. Now in its eighth year, and our host is Gail Lowney Olofsson, Director of Corporate Partnerships and Community Relations for the Newport International Boat Show, a division of Newport Restaurant Group, where her career has focused on building decades of corporate partnerships through leadership, gratitude, and positivity. As an adjunct professor at the University of Rhode Island, Salve Regina University, and Western Connecticut State University, Gail appreciates the opportunity to share business acumen and optimistic views on life. She's the author of Your Someday Is Now. What are you waiting for? 100% of the book sales benefit nonprofit organizations, and to date, over $50,000 has been donated to nonprofit organizations. Hello, Gail.
Good morning, and I'm loving the space this week.
Isn't it great? We're in the cafe here at Innovate Newport.
With an audience.
Yes.
How fun is that? I think it's because they know our guest, announced in a minute, traveled all the way from Boston today.
Excellent.
To visit with us. But Bruce, the book just hit 50,000. Now I can put it on Amazon.
I saw that. Yep. That is so impressive. Congratulations.
I want to give one corporate shout out to Amica, because they've been one of my biggest supporters, Amica Mutual Insurance, in buying bulk books for their corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And they've helped me a lot with that. But I'll tell you, my goal was always $50,000, then I can put it on Amazon, because I wanted 100% of the sales to go to nonprofit. And Amazon takes quite a bit, and that's okay.
Mm.
But now I can put it on. So
excellent.
Probably by next month.
An accomplishment. Look at that.
Yes.
Right? Good
yes.
job.
Okay. So today we have a very special guest, an expert on the topic of, drum roll, positive psychology. And who couldn't use more positivity? People, circumstances, opportunities in their lives. So a few questions for our listeners as we start today. Do you have a happiness practice? And if you don't, you'll learn ways to start one after the show. Do you look for opportunities to serve others? You don't have to start to visit a third world country. You can be kind and helpful in the workplace. You can do nonprofit work. Because Bruce, I know you've found this, and I've found this, and Pam's found this, that the happiest people are those who volunteer.
Yes.
Do you look for ways to brighten the lives of others by quote-unquote simple interactions? And here's an important one that I always tell my students.
Right.
Try to find ways. So my question to the audience is, do you find ways to reframe challenging conversations at work or at home or public interactions versus fueling an argument that could really begin a contentious relationship? Do we need those kind of relationships? So can we nip things in the bud? Today we welcome Pam Garamone, who is a positive psychology speaker and author of Be Happier. Pam speaks at corporations, universities, schools, and conferences. And Pam and I met probably 2 years ago through NSA New England. Every time I see Pam, and that's National Speakers Association New England, because there's probably different NSAs out there. We're
yes,
not part of the National Security
Association.
That would be or we're not telling. We met, and every time I see Pam on the Zoom screen, I just feel happier. I do. I don't think I've ever told you that.
Yeah.
No, you're just happy.
And
not
I
everybody's
feel the
happy.
Same.
Sometimes
yeah.
when we put our, not just in our board meetings, everyone's happy. But when we have a big meeting on, sometimes there's some glum or pinched little faces on there. So, Pam. Welcome.
Thank you.
That's a long introduction. You drove all the way down from Boston today.
Yeah, super easy. No traffic.
Okay, that's positive.
I'm coming more.
That's positive.
I didn't know it was that easy to get to Newport. It's
well,
awesome.
Hopefully before you leave us today, you're going to go on Ocean Drive. We'll
yeah.
see if you have time for
yeah.
that. But you speak on such an important, you know, it's actually, we're talking about this crucial topic, positive psychology. What is this?
Well, before I get into that,
okay.
I just want to say thank you, Gail, and you epitomize positivity, and I'm so honored to be part of this because, you are positive and happier, and I just feel really excited to have this conversation with you. So thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
Positive psychology, it's really the science of happiness, or how to be happier, and it started actually at the University of Pennsylvania by Marty Seligman, and he was studying, this is the, as the story goes, psychology, which is what goes wrong with people. So people on the call, you might know there's a book called the DSM that lists hundreds of things that can go wrong with people. And one day, Marty Seligman came home and his six-year-old said to him, "Dad, why are you so grumpy all the time?" And he took a look at his life and thought, "I am grumpy a lot of the time." So he flipped psychology, which is really what goes wrong with people, to positive psychology, which is what does it look like when things go well? What does it look like when people flourish, when people, even in the toughest of times, find happiness and joy, meaning and purpose? And that's how it all began.
What attracted you to this?
Well,
because I'm very attracted to this.
Yeah, well, like many people in this field, I got into it because I wasn't happy.
That's very honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was working, I had been the executive director of a nonprofit for 16 years, and I was kind of bored with it. And I just didn't know how to leave. And I, you know, sometimes something forces you to leave because you couldn't do it on your own because it was comfortable. I knew what I was doing. I was making the money finally, right? After all that time. And things happened that forced me to leave. My partner broke up with me. That was a hard hit. And then just a new people came into the organization that I didn't click with. And all of that had to happen for me to be like, I am not happy. I need to find out how to be happier. And fortunately, at that same time, Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, who was a professor at Harvard, became famous because he was teaching a class called How to Be Happier. And I'm reading this in the Boston Globe thinking, how do I get to take that class? I want to learn how to be happier. And fortunately, I got to study with Tal for almost a year.
Well, I have chills right now.
My friend Maya was like, and my friend Jeff was like, you need to take this. You know, so I had people who were also helped me to see this is what I needed. And so I studied with Tal, and I learned there are things you can do every day to get happier. And that began my journey of being happier and then teaching it to other people.
Were you in person with him?
It was a 9-month course where part of it you're in person and part of it was online.
When you were with him, did he just have this energy?
Well,
because he is one of my brain crushes.
Yeah, he's amazing. Incredible teacher. Yeah. The funny story he told was when he became famous, he was on Oprah, Good Morning America, and all the talk shows. And he said the host would always say when they got off camera, "We thought you'd be happier." Because he's the happiness guru, the expert. And he said he's an introvert. Okay. And so people think happiness is blah, blah, blah. Those, you know, like you, you're happy and it shows.
Right.
But if you're an introvert, it's basically, he says, an inside job. And really only you know how happy you are. And it can look different for different people.
Wow. Fascinating, Pam. Yeah. Well, we are going to go for a very quick break and then we will be back with Pam Garamone.
Here in Gail Lofson's Leadership at All Levels. It's the Gail Lofson's Leadership at All Levels. There's no real V in there. It's a Gail Lofson's Leadership at All Levels.
At all levels.
At all levels.
Because let me tell you, when you talk about leadership at all levels, I was talking with Pam a little earlier about Monday. I had 4 different appointments at Newport Hospital. Just the different, nothing concerned, just the different appointments. You consolidate them all into one meeting.
Sure.
I wake up, it's Monday. Why did I make these appointments on a Monday morning?
Right.
Little negative thought there, Pam, snuck in. And then I'm like, well, is there ever a good time to take this time? From the minute I walked in the door with Junior, I found out his name because I had to ask him, why are you so positive when there's so many negative people walking through here? His answer to me was that he's grateful to this woman, Isabel, that I meet on the elevator, who's pushing like this cart. And I said, how long have you worked here? She told me. And I said, you're so happy. She said, I wake up and I say, thank you, Jesus, for another day.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh my God, you're my soul sister.
Yes.
To all the different interactions in every department, I thought I was in the Stepford Wives.
See that? And it's an amazing, but they mean it over there. They really do.
Mean it over there. I left high as a kite, and I was already in a good mood.
See?
So I walked in feeling, hey, I'm blessed that I can go to a hospital.
Wow. Right?
You know, right?
Yeah. But everybody's worked there. We've had so many conversations with them right here in this space and have talked about how many years the staff members, just any random staff member, they just stay there and stay there and stay there.
And people aren't always nice. So I'll tell you,
right,
Pam, like I'm standing there at the door watching and people are trying to go right by Junior and they're not paying attention to him and they don't want to wear the mask. Well, you have to wear the mask. It's not the hospital's rule. It's the...
And it's a hospital.
It's a hospital. Yeah. Put the mask on.
Do you not watch medical shows? Yeah. I mean, come on.
So
it's so funny because what you're describing, I think positivity and happiness is contagious among the staff, it sounds like, and employees, and so is negativity. So you get to choose.
And we're talking today about the science of happiness with Pam Garamone. And I'm looking at your book, Be Happier. Okay, first of all, I have to really tell you this. Everyone I've shown this book with since we've walked in the building has smiled. This beautiful blue. What color blue is that? Sky blue? Robin's egg blue?
Maybe.
With this big yellow, you know, square in the middle. Not even square, just like a swoosh.
I vote for sky.
Sky blue. Okay, sky blue. But you have a quote, an endorsement from my brain crush, Tal Ben-Shahar, the co-founder of the Happiness Studies Academy and a Harvard professor. And I want to say this, because I know you're not big with, oh, buy my book, because you sell them by the hundreds to so many universities. Here's his quote about you. I can only imagine how happier and better our world would be if we all follow Pam Garamone's advice and take a few minutes a day to appreciate and savor and celebrate. People are busy. How can they find a few minutes a day to say, hey, I'm grateful?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, we were talking earlier, and you said it with this gentleman at the hospital, the person at the hospital.
Junior.
Thank you. I mean, the first thing you do when you wake up, thank you for another day. You know, and all throughout the day, there's so many things to be thankful for, that we have a free water or, you know, the cookies and fruit. Look at that delicious bowl of fruit. I mean, there's so much to be thankful for. But my practice, and this is from Tal, it's three good things. And so every single night for the last 7 years, I have a journal by my bedside and I run through my day and I write down at least three good things that have happened. It can be five, it can be seven, you don't have to stop at three, but that's the practice. And you keep the journal right by your bed, the pen, so it's not someplace else and then you forget it. Make it easy, and that has become a happiness habit for me. It changed my whole outlook, because before I was keeping a journal where I would write down all my negative thoughts right before bed. So I thought if you got those negative thoughts out, that would be helpful. Worst thing you can do. Right before bed. That's a great practice during the day. Okay. Get out your negative thoughts, your voices during the day. But right before bed, you want to write down the good things. And some days, even now, I'll be like, was this a good day? And then you start thinking, you're like, oh, I totally forgot. This happened, this happened, this happened. And it changes everything. And it starts you looking through the day for the good things you're going to write about later.
Yes. This is such amazing. Great advice. Do you ever skip a day?
Yeah,
okay,
of course.
Good. Okay, so
absolutely.
You're normal.
I'll do it in the morning sometimes if I'm too tired at night. Yeah, I miss days. All of these happiness practices, you do, they help, and so you want to try to make them a habit, but don't beat yourself up if you miss a day.
And one of the things you can write today when you got back, when you go home, is you found a parking space in Newport.
Hey,
that's
that
big.
Tough?
Yeah, that's a big one. I circled. I'm concerned about you texting you, hey, I'll get in your car and help you find something on a side street.
Well, hopefully I won't have a ticket.
No,
and that
no,
will be won't. My good thing.
Oh, if you don't
get
have
a ticket,
now
or
you
no.
have two things.
Yeah.
Okay. There, you've got two things right there.
And, of course, seeing your smiling, happy
and Bruce,
face.
And meeting Bruce. And meeting Kevin here.
Yeah,
like
at
Innovate
people.
Newport. This in Erin Donovan, our president of our Chamber of Commerce. So I should say Erin Donovan Boyle. I should say her correct name. So happiness. When you talk about the three good things, our son, when he was little, used to come home from school. And I'd say, Sam, tell me about your day. What was the best thing about your day? Ready?
snack, recess, lunch.
Yeah.
So I say, no, you've got to tell me like three great things about your day. And his friends, if they were over, had to do the same thing. Had to. They got to. We had a good fun. Yeah. We had a really good time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that is a wonderful practice. And I want to give a shout out to my 93-year-old girlfriend, Sister Ernestine. This is a nun I met when I was really young, not to be confused with Sister Teresita, my best friend, my nun best friend. But I just love nuns. I don't know why. There's something about their energy.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I know. I love Sister Marie at St. Augustine's here. So Sister Ernestine, every morning when she wakes up, she knows it's going to be a good day because she remembers her name. How great is that? I always hug her when I tell her
that's
that.
That's amazing.
So it's easy to say, you know, happiness. Like you've really cornered this. I choose to be happy. Bruce chooses to be happy. But there's a lot of people of all ages. I'm going to focus right now on the younger ones. You do a lot of work in high schools and colleges. There's anxiety out there like I've never seen before. COVID, social media. What are you seeing? And do you have some answers? I know you have some answers.
Well, yeah. You know, I think social media, the research shows, is it makes you more unhappy.
Okay.
It just does. Spending hours looking at other people live their lives makes you feel less, maybe sometimes, about your own life. Comparison. I know you're a huge Mark Twain fan.
Yes.
And you might know the quote, comparison is the death of joy.
Yes.
And it's true. And I suffer from that majorly. And it's sometimes I still do, you know. And
that's very honest.
Yeah. And I really like, you know, Sue David. Well, also on positive psychology, we talk about the permission to be human.
Okay.
You get to feel anxiety, stress, depression, joy, elation, contentment. You get to feel the full range of emotions. And to be curious about anxiety, for example, if this young person feeling stress, be curious about it. Don't try to push it down and say, I'm not anxious, I'm not angry, because then you'll blow up and it will come out in a negative way. But kind of be curious. Oh, I feel anxious right now. I wonder why. You know, what is that? And it might mean because I want to do well on this test. I want to get ahead, or there's a reason. And once you know the reason, then you can come to some action around it. So a lot of people are lonely right now.
Yes.
Or through COVID, we're lonely. So that's a feeling or a sadness, and it's okay. It makes sense, right? Whatever feeling you have, to get curious about it and then say, what would help this? Maybe calling up my good friend Gail and inviting her to coffee.
Yeah.
That's going to alleviate that sadness immediately. Right. And then sometimes you don't have the energy, if you're too sad, to make that call to somebody. And I just read this great research that showed that when you reach out to somebody and ask them, which I know you're such a great connector and you do this naturally.
You are too.
Asking somebody to have coffee or something. Yeah. Most people think that person doesn't want to do it or doesn't want to hear from you. But the fact and the research, they would be overjoyed to hear from you. So the voice in your head saying, oh, they don't want to care. They don't care. But they really do. And they're overjoyed to hear from somebody asking them to go out with them. So sometimes if you're feeling too sad, it's awesome to get that call from a friend or relative saying, hey, let's go do something.
And to just surround yourself, like you're saying, with positive situations and people who don't bring you down. I don't want to be around negative Nellies.
Yeah.
Now, I always say bless and release the negative people in your life. It's a whole chapter in my book.
Yes.
Okay. But you can't easily do that if they're family, if they're good friends, if you work with them and they're like right in your office. Fortunately, we have a really good office in my department. I can't speak for the whole company, but our department, we get along really well. So that's another thing is try your best you can. We walked into the space at Innovate Newport, and we're happy. It's bright. There's great people.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, well, we are going to take another break, and then we will be back with our positive psychology expert, Pam Garamond.
It's Leadership at All Levels with Gail Lownie-Olofsson here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540. we're having such a lovely time chatting here, and then it's time to come back on and chat.
So, well, Bruce, it's funny you say that, because when I met Pam, you know, we're on the same Zoom meeting together, we're at the same board meeting together, but we have these little sessions where people can come on Zoom to, a couple of times a month, mm-hmm. associates level, professional level, and you come on and you host a meeting.
Sure.
So I was hosting one of the meetings one day, and only Pam showed up.
Oh.
And we had the best hour together.
I'm sure.
Yes. We were so, what we were hoping, sorry to be negative for 1 minute, but we were hoping no one else would join
permission
me.
Permission to be human.
Permission to be human. Permission, yes, to be human.
I like that.
So we're.
I like that. Well, this is Gail Olofsson's Leadership at All Levels, by the way. And thanks for joining us. And we continue.
Pam Garamone, positive psychology speaker, author.
Yeah.
You have been very human when you talk about permission to be human right here.
Yeah.
When you were talking about, it's 16 years, you're realizing you're unhappy in your job, your relationship just dissolved, you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What did you do? And how did you start this chapter in your life that's so vibrant and productive and helping people around the world?
Well, it wasn't easy. Okay. It took time. I mean, I've always say, like, if you've been through anything tough, the reason you're still here is somebody helped you, whether it was a friend, maybe in your religion, a doctor, therapist, somebody helped you. We need people. That it happens to be the number one happiness booster and the number one factor in being resilient.
People.
Right? And I mean, I was on the couch of my friend's head in her lap crying for months, mm-hmm. you know, because just felt lost. And then I decided I don't know what to do next, because I had always been a teacher, and then I went to be the head of this nonprofit, and I didn't know what else to do. And so I went to Hawaii, and I realized that, you know, that takes a certain amount of privilege, but I volunteered at a yoga retreat center and for 3 months, and it was amazing. I got myself back, like, who am I? And I learned, I met other people, I was in a community, again, people, number one happiness booster, so living in community. And then my friend Barbara said, Pam, you need to come back and start your business. And that's, if she didn't say that, I would probably just be in, just kind of.
Wait, is Barbara the same friend you're a client?
No, that was a different friend. Okay. But I mean, that was so helpful. She said, you need to come back and start your business. And that's what I did. And I've been doing it now for 7 years. And just, I do these happiness habits every day, and that's what helps me. And that's why it's easy to teach them to other people. They take less than 5 minutes a day. And I mean, someone like, I always see you as so happy. What? Right. How did you do it? Like, how do you maintain your happiness? And were you always this happy?
My mom said I came smiling out of the womb.
See?
But I don't. I'm sure I did. But I do have an extraordinarily positive mom, mm-hmm. and my dad's realistic. So between the two of them, I think I call myself the pragmatic optimist, because he's like the sensibility reality, and she's like, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Your attitude determines your altitude. I know that's a quote, but that was her quote growing up.
Wow.
But I knew it was going to Haiti when I was 19 years old. I went down to Haiti to volunteer with my dad. My dad now has a multi-million-dollar clinic there. That's a whole story in itself that we take care of. Haitian Health Foundation, we take care of 200,000, because we're over that now, people with 275 Haitian employees who live there, helping doctors, nurses, social workers, country, what do I call it? When you go out into the clinics, I'm trying to think of our proper name for the outer clinics that you go out into, health ambassadors.
Wow.
So it is unbelievable. And he started this because he was asked by Mother Teresa of Calcutta to start this clinic in Haiti. Well, when I went at 19, let me tell you, I think at 19 years old, sophomore in college, I probably, if I'm like some of my students, I probably felt a little like the world owed me something, and probably got upset about foolishness. Mm-hmm. And when you go to Haiti and you see people and pigs competing for a banana skin, Yeah, that's the first thing I saw when my dad were out jogging one morning. First, people are staring at us. You're jogging? We're trying to maintain our energy, and you guys are out burning.
Yeah.
And then I pass through the dumps. We're jogging through these dumps, and I see people and pigs competing for the same. And these pigs are the size of this table. They're not little cute pigs.
Wow.
And competing for the inside of a banana peel. I went back to Tufts and did a whole course on it.
Wow.
So that changed my entire trajectory of my life. Everything. Yeah. We wake up and there's water. You know this. We turn on water.
I know.
This last weekend, some people in Newport woke up to frozen pipes, in Boston too. Okay? Our eyes are working, our hands are working, our feet are working today. We have friends, we have jobs, we have purpose.
Yeah.
So that's why, in my heart, I feel really happy. But Pam, can people be happy all the time? Because I'm not happy all the time. I mean, someone dies, I'm not like, oh, they're in a better place. No, that is not my MO. Yeah. Someone dies, we're going to process this.
Right, yeah.
So can people aren't happy all the time. What would happen if they were?
It'd be weird.
Okay. It would be weird.
No one would like you. I always joke if you were happy all the time.
People don't like happy people, though.
Well, not all the time, because it's not authentic and it's not real. Like, as you said, if someone you love dies, you're not going to be, oh, they're in a better place. Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah. No.
No, you're going to feel sadness, grief, loss. And that's normal. And in positive psychology, it's permission to be human. We feel all of the emotions.
Right.
Include the challenge is that most people only talk about the negative emotions, and positive psychology is training our brains to notice the positive as well. Not all the time, but more of the time. And that's an incredible story. How amazing it is your parents were such givers and saw a need and filled it, and you got to experience that.
And still do it.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. We all still do it. I mean, I can't go right now because Haiti is really bad.
Yeah.
So my last...
But is your father there still?
He runs it from the U.S.
Oh, from my sister.
Oh, wow. She was the executive director. But again, that's like a really great way to focus on the positive. And, think about the beginning of the year. So many people die at the beginning of the year. I know they die year round, but I'm noticing it because 6 friends have lost their parents in the past 4 weeks.
Wow.
And what's the first thing I think of? Sorry, selfishly, but oh my God, I'm so blessed I still have my parents.
Yeah.
Then I'm thinking, I got to write some real nice sympathy card because I knew all their parents and they're really nice, with the exception of 2. And these are really good people. And what do you say?
Yeah.
I mean, you're the specialist. What do you say to someone who's lost their parents, or 2 of my friends lost their job this week?
Yeah.
So what do you say when I said, come over and sit near me. We're going to go through LinkedIn. That's what I said to the people who lost their job.
I think of when my friend, when I was in my lowest point, didn't try to solve it. She wasn't like, oh, get on the apps, meet somebody else. It was just like being there with me, letting me cry, rubbing my head with my head on her lap. I think just being there without, at least at first, trying to solve it or make things better, just be with them.
So you come back from Hawaii, and your friend says, you got to start your business now. How did you know what kind of business to start?
That's a great question. Well, I'm a teacher by training, so I love speaking. I'd always been a speaker, even in that nonprofit job. I went into schools and talked about how to make them safe and inclusive for LGBTQ people.
Right.
And so I called up a friend who I'd spoken for their organization, the association, many times, and this other topic. I said, I have a new topic. Can I come in and speak? And she said, yes. And they were 300 teachers in that room from 300 different or maybe 100 so different districts. And that's how I got started, because then they invited me into their schools to share positive psychology.
That's what we call a Hail Mary full of grace. Your first speaking gig, you had 300 leads in the audience.
Yeah.
So the rest was history. It dominoed.
Yeah. I was lucky.
Your speaking style is so authentic. I almost want to use the word raw. You get what you get. I mean, you were just in Texas last week when I was talking to you in the morning.
Yes.
And you were for 650 people, but more than that because it was standing room only.
Yeah.
But you're also extraordinarily humorous. Is that just a humor that comes out on the stage? Is it scripted? It doesn't seem scripted to me.
Well,
it just seems like it's you.
I just like to make people laugh. I was voted class clown in high school. Okay. I still have my ceramic class clown. I'm so proud of that still.
Okay.
That was 100 years ago.
I don't know. I always wanted, when I went to high school, I was like, if I make one person laugh today, it will be a great day. And I just love making people laugh. So,
you are so give versus gain. When you, as a corporation, like when a corporation hires you or a conference or these kids, you're in there and you are there for the audience. Yes, you're getting a paycheck, but you're so focused on the audience and listening and your authenticity.
Thank you.
Have you always been that authentic? Because I love it.
Wow.
It's so natural.
Thank you. And I think you're the same, right?
Because
if you
so.
Love what you do,
I love
that's,
what I do. Yeah.
That comes out.
Yeah.
You love teaching. You love inspiring people, right?
Yes.
So that comes out. And that when you're doing what you love, nothing is better than that, right?
No, when you're doing what you love, nothing is better than that. There is a woman, and Bruce and I have talked about this on another show. I see her every morning when I'm going into the Marriott gym to do my workout. And my mindset now is, I get to work out because I can. And Flora is there every morning at the Marriott cleaning the floors. And she, oh gosh, I'm forgetting her exact term, Bruce, but what she said, but she always says, we're so blessed to have another day. We get to live another day. And she's standing there with this great big smile, and she makes my morning every morning. And sometimes she looks at her watch when I'm coming in. I'm like, I know. So I said, are you looking at it because I went through too quickly? Or are you looking at it because I'm a little delayed? But people like that who just make our day.
But you, it's so interesting listening to you say that, because you are telling these stories about the person in the hospital, the person mm-hmm. in the gym, it's because you're looking for those stories.
Always.
Not yeah. even consciously, but you're looking for joy, you're looking for happiness, you're looking for positivity, and guess what? You find it wherever you
when
go.
When you look, you find it.
Right? Yeah. So you're, that, it's just such, those stories are just so great because it shows you're coming in, not, oh, I got to work out again. You're coming in with a energy and looking for people to match that energy.
So in our, well, thank you. In our limited few minutes left, not everybody has a job they love, a spouse they want to be with, friends they want to hang out with, or family. What are a few things that people can do to just be happier?
Well, the
journal.
Yes, the funny thing is that the most common question I get at the end of a talk, it's usually a woman comes up to me and says, I am happy, but my husband, usually, he should have been here. He needs to, he needed to be here, or my teenager or somebody else. How do I make them happier? That's the most common. And you can't. Happiness is an inside job. I always jokingly say, leave them, but I don't think that's the best answer.
No.
But the funny thing is, this one woman said to me, she told her husband about three good things, and the daughter, who also got the negative genes from the husband, was going off to freshman year of college, and she said, she told me this about a month later, that every day they decided to text each other three good things. So this was the negative dad, the negative teenager off to college, and she sent me an email saying, you can't believe what a difference in each of them.
All right, you've given me chills again.
Just
you
by writing
three good things
every day. And that's how you do it. You try these things out. If it makes you happier, keep doing it.
Well, thank you so much, author and speaker Pam Garamone. We can find you through pamgaramone.com or just Google Pam Garamone, as best you can spell it. Be happier. Be happier. Order the journal, because I live by this journal. I love it. And God bless you, and thank you for being here. And Bruce,
I'll see you next month.
See you right here, you bet.
Thank you so much, Gal.
Your someday is now. What are you waiting for?